Make some noise if you're ready!
10 seconds to go.
Oh, that right hook could have been really fun. Here and yet, this could be all over with the last 10 seconds. The right hook was the danger shot.
The Carlo Kid goes 1-1 in Bama.
Presenting Kilkenny Ireland, he is Mick
to the legs from Brennan. The Basher looking to use reach here.
Oh, that bonus shot! And if the left hand, that was quick from that over Haney. But the left hand and right gets the win.
Rambling Rhinos podcast number seven? It is seven, isn't it?
Is it seven?
It's seven already.
Oh, man, it's seven already.
Nearly a double digits, lads.
Savage. I love it.
Savage,
Ken McGuire,
savage cabbage.
Here in Team Rhino Kilkenny headquarters. No Andy this week. He's still sunning himself.
But
somewhere.
Moilo is back.
He's back.
Moilo is back with a vengeance,
lads. Price.
God damn him, Moilo.
He is back.
Lightweight champion of the world.
Yep. Soon to be in any organization, motherfucker. Bring it.
And Mick Brennan.
Yo.
Featherweight champion of the world. I can't even keep
heavyweight champion of the world.
Hey, what are you saying?
I'm talking about me, man.
I haven't passed the X Factor trials.
So how are you guys? Miles, how are you? Start with you, because you've been on your travels.
Yep.
You were sunning yourself. You were training in the UK. You were training in Dublin.
Yeah, I kind of done a little bit of everything, really. I went working over in England for 2 weeks to start off. Just a job that my friend offered me on and off for a few years. And I said I'd like to do it because it was a little bit of delving into both. I'd done a bit of work just sitting around, really. But I was also at Creamfields and V Festival, which is great crack. But all I was doing was eating noodles. So I had to, you know, start copping on to myself. So I went away, came back for a few days, trained with you guys. You were surely missed. But I had to shoot off then again. Went to Newcastle, got a few new tattoos, met me friends over there, trained a load of MMA, went to Mallorca, soaked up the sun, done a few bicep curls here and there. Back to England again, training Gracie Barra with Braulio Estima, and his absolutely sick instructor he has over, Jacob Skimponkinski, whatever.
Good
from
attempt.
From Poland, like, you know, one of those names. Anyway.
Was Braulio there the whole time?
Braulio was there the day I was there. He was doing filming for Estima online, and he was just about to fly out again to the ADCC and championships, and he got 3 roles in with him, and it was absolutely epic. I got raped for 15 minutes. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Learned a lot. So every jiu-jitsu practitioner's dream, really.
It actually was. It was actually epic. Like, I loved it. And he was so friendly. Gave me loads of technique tips and stuff like that. And I trained there for 5 days.
Nice.
Deadly. Yep.
How's the body?
Body's feeling good. Need to get the body fat down a little bit more. Not where I want to be. But technique and IQ-wise, I'm high. But body-wise, another few weeks, I'll be on point.
Smashing. How about you, sir?
Oh, I'm
you're back.
I'm back training hard this week. The last, you could say last month or so, it's just been a lot of drilling, which I tell you, it kept me sane and it kept me sharp. But this week is just back to the grind. The thumb, I'm just being careful with the thumb, but it's fine. And the foot is, the ankle is a little better. Well, it's still there, but I don't care. I'm just going to fucking train now because I'm sick of waiting around. So, I'm loving it. I did 2 sessions Monday, 2 sessions Tuesday. Going to get a hard session in tonight now. And then I was in Rhino yesterday morning, going back to Rhino tomorrow night if I can.
Yeah.
So, I'm gone from like 0 to 100. And I'm feeling it today. I'm very sore. Very stiff, but loving it.
But that's a familiar feeling.
That, yes, it's that.
That will pass.
That is the grind feeling. I love it. Love it.
Nice. So. I like it. Well, we've got loads to talk about. You've thrown out a potential theory from your hanging with James Mulhern and taking photos with an amazing camera phone.
Oh, That looks that new Samsung Galaxy Note is unbelievable with the new double zoom, isn't it? It's like professional photography.
Is that the one that's going on fire, though? No?
No, that was the...
That was the one
that
previous.
That was the one before it. That's the one they don't even let you bring it on planes. Yeah. And then they recalled them all and said, here, have some new phones. It'll be fine. But no, this one doesn't go on fire, but the photos are hot.
Hot. Really hot.
I kind of want to buy it.
Excuse the pun.
But you had a theory.
Yeah.
We call it the Robin McGregor theory.
Yeah, the Robin McGregor theory. I was James kicked me off his couch at 6:30 in the morning to go training. And I was, as per usual, talking absolute scutter to him on the way to the gym. And he was like, you should put that in your podcast. Like, you should talk about that in your podcast. That's serious. Like, and I was like, yeah, all right. So basically what the theory was, I think Conor is at that stage in his career now where the UFC need him. And I think that it's in this little bit of a vicious cycle where I think that the UFC are giving Conor enough money in order to keep Conor from turning against them. And the problem is that the risk that Conor would be taking is very, very slim if he did, but the reward would be huge. He would actually go down in history as the greatest sports athlete of all time, because he'd be standing up not just for himself and for money, but he'd be standing up for mixed martial arts as a whole. He'll change the whole dynamic of it, because the problem is at the moment is that everybody is aware of that the UFC give 90% of fighters raw deals. The Reebok deal was extremely raw. Like, in all fairness, like, it's kind of comical to even see, I think, when I'm watching the UFC that the fighters get cut, like, say, a quarter of what they'd usually be getting for, like, when that Reebok deal came in, a lot of fighters got screwed. Like, some fighters were living their livelihoods off sponsorship.
Yeah.
And then the UFC come in, and because it suited them better, the Reebok deal came in, and it basically ruined a lot of those fighters' lives. Like, that's where all their money came from.
That's why some fighters left.
But it's comical when you look at a UFC event, and it's the whole octagon is just splattered with sponsors. Mm. Harley Davidson, Dave and Buster's, this, that, Monster. Dana White's going around with a Bud Light t-shirt. Like, it's comical. Like, it's comical that the fighters are the ones that make the show, and Dana and all them are the guys that just pretty much run it and organize it. Yeah. But if the fighters weren't there, then there would be no show. Like, and what they do is they pay the highest guys, the most popular marketable guys, like the cash cows, like Conor, in order to keep them at bay so that they don't have the power to make a stand for what's clearly wrong in the mixed martial arts circuit. I remember clearly years ago that Roy Jones Jr. made a bit of a stand like that. And that's, I think, was one of the main reasons why boxers started to get a lot better pay. Even though, like, even nowadays, it's not as well publicized as mixed martial arts. But mixed martial arts should be getting as much, if not more, than boxers these days with the amount of publicity that's getting, like, yeah, of course. Like, what Conor needs to do is start reining back in his furry coats, his cars he doesn't need, and his extra houses and stuff. Like, look, you can never disrespect what Conor's done for this sport. Conor's done a hell of a lot for this sport. And you have to respect him for that. But what I will never respect is going around with extra shit that you don't need when there are still people in Ireland dying on the streets homeless at Christmas. You can't give 30, 40,000 or even 100,000 or even 200,000 to the public and go into the homeless and give it to a charity you don't even know where the money is actually going to. You don't know if that charity you're giving it to is, if it's like 10% going to charity and the rest going in their pockets. Like, start up your own charity. If you want to be the proper Robin Hood and fighting for Ireland like you say you are, then give 50% of your money to the people of Ireland, so you start actually saving lives and start up your own charity foundation.
50% of his fight purse.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, okay. He has to live off like a couple of million, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean.
No, just
like,
to clarify.
But that is it, like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't need any of these things. If Conor never made it into the UFC, he'd still be alive now. He'd still have to be happy and content with who he is. So what's the difference if he reeled his mindset back in to go, well, you know, I don't really need actually all that money. I don't need these extra cars. I don't need these yachts. I don't need this. I don't need that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's mass manipulation, you see. He uses the fact that he's done so much for mixed martial arts in Ireland, which he has and you can't go against, but he uses that in order to keep all the money that he's made, which is his every right to do. But in my opinion, if you truly want to be the Robin Hood and the mixed martial artist and the hero of Ireland, and you want to go down in time as the legend like Muhammad Ali would, you can't compare yourself to Muhammad Ali unless you stand for something. Yeah. Muhammad Ali stood for blacks and whites. He stood for something greater than just boxing.
Yeah.
And that's what Conor needs to do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come through keeping all the treasures for yourself.
Yeah.
That's my point. And like the Ali Act. Who has heard of the Ali Act since it's been on? Since it arose? Who heard of the fighter organization since that Mark Hunt and all them were a part of? Because nobody with enough power is there to make a stand for it. Yeah. Imagine if Conor McGregor joined the Ali Act and joined that fighters union.
Yeah.
The UFC would have absolutely no hope standing against that.
Yeah.
They'd have to go by whatever. Conor would have to make a stand for about 3 months in that organization, and then every fighter pay rise would just shoot, and then everybody would be living their life. Like fighters depend their whole lives. They sacrifice their whole life to it. So if Conor made the stand like that, then, and I'm not just pointing the finger at Conor, like, but at the end of the day, he's the only one that could truly do it.
Yeah, in the UFC.
You name me someone else that could have the pulling power that Conor could do in order to actually raise the income for fighters on a grand scale and could actually save lives and save people from, like, you know, like, I'm not bleeding Mother Teresa, like, you know what I mean? Like, but all I'm saying is that I'd hope if I was in Conor's shoes, I would do that. I would be the proper Robin Hood, give 50% of my purse away and actually save people's lives on the streets of Ireland.
Yeah.
Not just say you're going to do it.
Yeah, like I think basically what your point is that if you make all that money and you want to spend all that money, that's fine. But if you're going to come out and say that you care about this charity or that charity and you're going to give something to it, actually act on it properly. And actually commit to it and commit that, like, donation or whatever it is he needs to do to become that Robin Hood. Is that what you're saying?
Well, if Conor wanted to actually go down in history and make an actual, like, people to love him forever, he's just going to go down as a fighter now. Like, Conor's going to be almost one of the greatest fighters of all time.
Yeah.
And then, like, that'll be it, like.
Yeah. And well, like, if he probably wants to make a real mark, you're saying.
A real mark to be forever cemented, to go, well, we have this pay nowadays because it's like the 1916 rising and all that. Like, you know, like, people died for their country. Like, there was no guts or glory, and like, you know, there's nothing narcissistic or in it. Like, there's no materialistic things you got from it. There was no selfishness involved. It's just freedom. There's no money on freedom. But Conor does have the money and the power to change the whole dynamic of not just mixed martial arts artists so that we and others can actually, like, have proper paydays. Like, so we're not getting overthrown by the higher powers or promoters. Like, we're not getting manipulated by them. Yeah. And he can actually properly save people in the streets of Ireland. Imagine this, right? If Conor joined the fighters union, he promoted the Ali Act for the fighters, and he started his own charity foundation where he ran and he overlooked, and he put not even 50%, he could put fucking 30% of his fight purse into that, and imagine the lives he'll save and the lives he could change. He would forever go down as a hero.
Yeah, he would,
and be respected. But in my eyes, it's just, he's just respected to being a fighter at the moment. Like, I think, like, there's people, homeless people watching him from outside pubs, freezing their arses off and going, yeah, go on, Conor. And it's just like, yeah, but, like, he's not doing anything to help you. Like, there's nothing being done, like.
Yeah.
There's still people suffering. Like. Yeah. And I think, as I say, I'll revert back to it. I'll always have my say and I'll always be straight and I'll always be blunt about things. I respect Conor as an athlete, but I think he can do more. I think he can do a lot more.
As a human. As a human,
not, yeah. As a human being, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think he has, and I'm only saying that because Connor has the power. If it was someone else, I'd say it to someone else. They're not just like, you know.
I mean, like,
it's just coincidental that he's Irish and he's from Ireland.
UFC, so it just happens to be Connor.
Yeah. So I think that...
But as regards that, to make a difference when it comes to MMA fighters and standing up for something, yeah, absolutely.
Like, and look, at the end of the day, he can turn around and he doesn't have to do that. Like, but all I'm saying is that if he did do that, imagine the mark he'd make and imagine the lives he'd change.
Yeah.
Not just in this country, but in mixed martial arts.
So let's say he does, let's take it from the sports side of things. Let's say he takes a stand at the UFC level. Is it enough for him to make a stand, or does he have to get all the other big names on board?
I think he definitely has to start.
It's only Conor that would need to make a stand, really, in my opinion. Okay. But that's why this is such an interesting topic for me.
Yeah.
Because I can't hold back and not, like, this has been lingering in my mind for quite a long time. Like, he has so much power now. The UFC are petrified of him. Well, what, like, even champions in the past, no one's had the pulling power Conor has ever had. Mm. No one in the UFC ever. Like,
no one has promoted themselves like
Conor.
No. Not.
So imagine what he could do other than fighting. Like, fighting's just fighting. People have to go on with their daily lives. He hasn't changed lives in a grand scale of things.
Yeah.
He hasn't. Like, think about it. We don't think about Conor like every time he fights every now and again. Or scroll on Facebook or Instagram. Oh, there's a pic of Conor. Oh, what's he doing? Oh, mad joke. Scroll on. That's it, but he hasn't changed lives. Mm. And, like, you know, as I said, you can't give, like, 30,000 to a charity and go, yeah, well, I've done my piece. Oh, you haven't. That's one of your four coats, Connor.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. Mm. You know what I mean? That's not enough. Like, not with the amount of money and the power that you have. Because money, in the grand scale of things in this world, like, doesn't mean anything. We're going to be dead one day.
Exactly.
What's money going to mean to anybody then? No one's going to go... Like, no one's going to look back and go, he's done this or that for the people, because he hasn't done anything much really, like, yet.
Yeah.
That's the next step for me to see Conor do, because he's done everything else. Everything he's done else now. But what he needs
to... It does really just all boil down to him, what he wants to do.
Oh, yeah.
If he doesn't want to do it, he won't do it.
No, of course not. You know? I don't think he will do it. I don't think he will, but I think that's the right thing to do. Like, imagine going from what he's done to being, like, And that's like a revolutionary character.
As you say, he has the power to do it now. He'd
be like Gandhi, like mixed martial arts version of Gandhi. Wouldn't he, like, in fairness, like would you agree?
Does he want to go against guys? Does he want to go against the UFC though?
What's he got to lose?
What the
fuck has he got to lose?
Mm-hmm. I know, I keep forgetting that.
Like, it's not like us, man. Like, I mean, like, we're in the bottom of the heap and going, sorry about that, lads. Please give us the payday, you know.
But yeah, like, if it's not with the UFC, or if, let's say he just goes, actually, you know what, I don't have a fight contract with the UFC, I can just stroll away. I've got my own promotions company. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to fight this guy.
Connor could go into movies for the rest of his life and make enough money. Mm. Do you think Connor's ever going to... Connor's making enough money on his bank account and the interest in his bank account to live the rest of his life.
Yeah. It's actually crazy when you think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Like, I mean, there's nothing, that's the next step. If you want to be like a true hero in life, in the meaning of life, in this, as a human being, in the grand scale of things, to save lives and to make people's lives better. That's the next step. Yeah. That's what Ali done and that's what he'd have to do.
Yeah.
In order to be that. Like, I wouldn't take a fucking leaf out of Mayweather's book. Mayweather's going down as the best boxer of all time. But that's it.
Yeah.
That's it after that.
Yeah.
Ali's going to be known as forever the greatest. Mm. When Conor and Mayweather pass, it's like, yeah, they're fucking like flashy rich kids that, like, you know, that were excellent fighters. Well, but they didn't do much though for their people or for the sport in general.
Yeah.
Think about it. Like, have they? You name something that they've done other than just highlight mixed martial arts in the country and have something for us to be proud of.
No, none.
What else? Yeah. Just someone can comment underneath on Facebook. I'd love to hear their opinion. Like, maybe I'm missing something.
No. I see his Instagram, and this is not again. Like, I'd be doing some of this stuff as well if I had.
Oh, so would I. I'd be doing all the Conor shit. But definitely,
it's so funny because he's really doing the Ric Flair thing where he's like, "Wan Danning, son of a gun." You know, he's living the high life, and it's cool. But if you want, as you said, if you really want to make a mark, make a difference.
I think if you want to, like I was saying the last day about, like, look, I'm not a psychologist. I can't diagnose people with disorders, obviously, like, you know what I mean? But from my studying over the years of psychology, 90% of the people that rule the world, that have the power in the world, are narcissists, and extreme narcissists with the disorders, where they are literally so cutthroat that they'd run through anybody to have power. Mm. And that's just a risk that a lot of people aren't willing to take because they're empathic. They're good people.
And that's also why successful people are successful as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's why successful people also commit suicide. They aren't happy. They go around depressed all the time. Yeah. They're never happy with what they have. They're alcoholics. They're addicted to women. They're addicted to drugs. There's some pick your poison.
Yeah, exactly.
It's usually one of that. Yeah. So it's either Conor tries to get out of that mindset, if he does have that mindset, that's what I'd be guessing, and he drifts back down to reality by doing things for others, the extreme opposite of doing everything for everybody else. Like give. And then he'll find that contentment because he's done everything he can in the martial arts scene already.
Does that also change the mentality then at the top? If you have fighters that are... and are deserving, but fighters that are going, I want more money, I want more money, I want more money, I want more money.
But you need that as well.
But then the guy at the top has, well, I've got money, I don't need the money, take my money, I'm going to give it here.
Yeah, but like that, I don't think Conor should give his money to other fighters. There's not a hope like of that.
No.
Like. But I think that, like, you know, look, we all have these traits, like, you know, in general psychology, everybody has these traits. I have narcissistic traits, you do. Like, it's all on the grand spectrum of things. But it's just, they need to be extreme like that. So in order to Conor to give, I don't think he should give to fighters. He should give his money to charity, to focus more on his own foundation, a charity foundation, to give to the people of Ireland, to make the people of Ireland's lives better on the streets. There's still people freezing to death under bridges in Ireland.
Yeah.
That's still happening.
Yeah.
Imagine if you set up a load of foundations and a load of health home shelters all over Dublin, the McGregor home shelters for Christmas, and then they'd all go in there, like, do an Al Capone on it.
Mm. Yeah.
But he's still changing people's lives.
Yeah.
And then he actually enforced the Ali Act and enforced the Fighters Union, like Roy Jones did, so that people in a grand scale would start, so that, like, fighters for centuries to come will never forget Conor for that.
Yeah.
They'll go, he's the one that made fighting worth
fighting
for, made worth living for. People will go in and go, we actually get, imagine if we got like the same rights that amateur boxers did because of Conor standing up for those rights. Imagine that.
Be huge.
Imagine we got that. Like, amateur boxers are still getting grants every year.
Yeah.
They're still getting minimum grants, like the social welfare do over here. What do professional athletes in mixed martial arts do get? Zilch. Absolutely zilch. And we put more on the line than 90% of other athletes. Well, I wouldn't say 90%. I'm going to be all biased here.
It all comes
out. But we deserve to have just on equal rights.
Yeah.
It all comes out of our pocket. There's no point delving into, like, what sport is better. That's all bullshit. Like, amateur boxers deserve to get their pay for the work they put in. But we do as well. Mm. And that's what he could stand for.
Yeah.
That's what he could stand for now. This is the gap he has, the time frame he has to stand for that.
Yeah.
And do you think that can trickle down the whole way? If going back into the UFC fold, if he takes a stand and says, okay, well, look, take it as the example out of the NFL, we want better salaries, we want pensions, we want benefits, we want health, we want looked after.
That's exactly
medicals,
the ripple effect that'll happen.
Sustainability. Can that trickle the whole way down from all the way up there at the top across different promotions and reach the Irish amateur scene, the Irish professional scene, the smaller local shows?
But I think that's what Conor will probably aim at first.
Yeah.
And foremost. I think
it has to be UFC first, and then over time it won't be an overnight thing. Definitely won't.
No, but this will be something that would change the whole dynamic of martial arts for eternity. You know, like
the sooner it happens as well, the better.
Look, at the end of the day, right? At the end of the day, everybody remembers Muhammad Ali. Everybody remembers Muhammad Ali because of what he stood for racial rights. That's what he stood for. And lots of other things, obviously. Jake LaMotta only died there recently. They made a movie about him. Mm. Unbelievable fighter.
Yeah.
Had a lot of issues. Clear fucking narcissist.
Yeah.
But he's only brought up every now and again. Or you flick through Netflix or your DVD set. Oh, there's a Raging Bull. He was a good fighter, wouldn't he? That's a good movie. Just watch that. Next thing, the next day, forgotten about your day.
Yeah.
It's just another fighter and another great fighter, another century.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson, gone down as one of the greatest of all time, but only the greatest boxer of all time.
Yeah.
He was just a good boxer.
Mm.
He didn't stand for anything.
Yeah.
What did he stand for? When he passes and when the time passes, Muhammad Ali is like forever engraved in martial arts history.
Yeah.
Because of what he stood for. Yeah. Money could not hold that man away from his principles and his rights. But I think money could hold principles. That could sway Conor's principles. I think they could.
Yeah.
And I think that, well, maybe not. I could be making a wrong judgment there. But all I know is that if he wants to go down in history and make a change for martial arts and for the people of Ireland, he needs to make a bigger statement than what he's making already. Because he's made his biggest statement he's ever going to make on the martial arts scene.
Yeah, big time.
He's already solidified that.
Okay. Well, he's had the big money stuff against Mayweather. So he's taken some time away from the mixed martial arts side of things. If he's to fall back into line, he's got a lightweight title that he needs to defend. 217 has the... Is it Tony Ferguson, Kevin Lee? Tony Ferguson for the interim title fight.
Yeah.
That's on the way.
I think so, yeah.
The stories earlier in the week were that it's going to be McGregor Diaz 3 instead.
In December, is that it?
Yeah, more money, bigger payday for both all around.
Oh yeah, of course.
Is there a point where he has to go, actually, no, this is done? Does he take the Diaz fight and go, actually, you know, maybe we've got some unfinished business here, or maybe we just have like mountains of money that we can make here instead, and he's still in that kind of time zone or that kind of frame of mind. I mean, when does he need to make this change? When does this need to take place?
Well, I think this change needs to be made when... Well, now is obviously a great time, but this change can't be made when he starts losing his marketability.
Yeah.
It still needs to be a massive sacrifice at the pinnacle of a success. Yeah. That's when the success...
Which is right now.
Well, yeah, but like he's hit... I think it should be when he hits 30.
Mm.
He's going to be hitting 30 in the next year. Another fight with Diaz. Maybe another boxing fight with Malignaggi. That's a year up.
Mm.
He's won a pro boxing fight. He's fought the greatest of all time. He's beaten Diaz in the trilogy. He's had that crazy trilogy fight that, you know, most fighters go through. The only one to win two titles in the UFC. Like, I mean, what else do you want to do? Like, what else do you want to... Like, after that, you're just going to start... Like, see, when you lose your marketability, that's when the UFC start dissing you and talking shit about you and demoralizing you and portraying you as not a marketable fighter anymore. Because Dana has that power as well when you start losing fights.
Is it a double-edged sword? What if he keeps winning?
This could have been a conversation. Imagine we had this conversation back when Anderson Silva was on his reign.
Oh, look. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We could say, yeah, but now we've seen examples of the past of greatness just losing its touch. Anderson Silva's a journeyman now, but Anderson Silva back in his day is a better version of Conor. Mm. He's an absolute fucking machine. He was an animal. He was technically the greatest martial artist of all time, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. There was no one like him.
There's nobody like him. So, yes, he will lose that.
Did he hang around too long?
He did hang around too long.
Yeah.
Who's that? Anderson Silva?
Anderson Silva.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
Fedor's the same.
Yeah.
We saw that in his last.
He just didn't know when to retire.
No.
He didn't want to retire.
I think if Conor really wants to, Conor really wants to go down as the greatest fighter of all time and the greatest human being, like the Gandhi of mixed martial arts of all time.
Yeah.
Like, that's some statement, lads. Then he has to get this trilogy out of the way, win a pro boxing fight with Paulie Malignaggi, start up his own charity foundation to help the homeless in Ireland. Like he says he does, we'll do it in Ireland, we're going to take over, we'll do it together. Yeah, but we're still poor and dying. Like that's what he needs to do. He needs to actually make a statement in the country of Ireland. And then he needs to make a statement in these organisations and go against the UFC in order to rise the standards and the payments of fighters on a grand scale of things so that it just stays there for eternity. Mm. And then he'll go down and never be forgotten. Yeah. But other than that, he's just another flashy, unbelievable fighter. Oh, that Conor lad. Ah, yeah, great. Yeah, what's for tea?
Do you think Ireland could have done more for McGregor if we were to flip it around the other way? It seems anywhere he goes.
Devil's advocate. I like you, Ken.
It seems anywhere he goes in the US, he's walking on water. Papers, TV, radio, any form of media, people on the street, grandparents.
And how do you think that would change if Conor did start up his own charity foundation and start helping the homeless around Ireland? I don't think he'd get as much stick. I think he'd start.
No, absolutely
I think people would actually start. I don't think you'd ever see a bad review in Ireland about Conor again, if that was the case. I think all the reviews.
We don't bash people that are doing good. We tend not to bash people that are doing good.
That's the thing, you see. Of course we feel happy for Conor because we want to be in Conor's shoes. Like, it's okay for people. Like, you know, people don't know the difference between bitterness and logical thinking. This is logical thinking. Bitterness is going, oh, fuck Conor, what a dickhead. Look at all the shit he has. Like, fucking, he's great. Mm. Like, I'm happy for him. We're all happy for him here. Yeah. But the question is, what could he do to make a statement that could help others and himself? What's the next step?
Make him untouchable.
Make him untouchable. And what could make, that would literally, if he made that step, I think that, as you said, he won't be getting the harsh reviews that he and the interviews that he gets in Ireland.
Yeah.
He won't be getting any of those. Because I think maybe they might think a little bit to that degree themselves, but they're just doing it in a roundabout, bitter way and just dissing him on interviews and stuff. Instead of just coming out and going, hey, look, Conor, you could probably just do a bit more for Ireland, to be honest with you. Just living a life over in America, I'm not repeating it again about the homeless shit, the crack at this stage. He's going to have a lot of haters because of that. Okay. When he starts going, right, I'm not going to get too greedy with my success here. I'm going to rein it back, and while I have the power, start making a difference in the world, basically.
Yeah, but you were saying, what has Ireland done for Conor?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's interesting as well.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
I just find it cute, because, it comes up every now and again, and it came up, it was the small things. He beats Aldo. He takes the 145 title. We get knocked out of Italia 90. And the country goes bananas and the players are heralded and everybody is,
I know.
It's the same. 1994, we come back in 2002.
Yeah.
The football, we've slipped so far down the world rankings that people didn't even care. FAI couldn't sell season tickets to the national team, but by Jesus, you can sell millions and millions of pay-per-views to see a guy from Dublin fight for 36 minutes, and there's a huge disparity there. And I think sometimes you kind of need that recognition. We give homecomings to hurlers who lose, and you know, 20,000 people.
Very true.
20,000 people will still come out and show their appreciation. But where was that?
Where was that for him?
When, like, you know.
Well, to be
this
fair,
stuff had never happened before.
Yeah. In like not even in Ireland. Like, I mean, in the world. I mean, there should have actually been a fucking homecoming parade for Conor. Well, he was on the bus going through O'Connell Street without. Did that actually happen? I'm away with Barry sometimes. No, did that not happen? That's disgraceful. Like,
no, there was a few. I think there was a bit of a thing at the airport, wasn't there? I can't remember after which.
Yeah, but that was like, you know, people greeting him at the departure day. Just, whoever wants to turn
like,
up.
Yeah,
it was just like freedom of the city.
It was just like a big.
But that's the thing, you see, like maybe Conor would be more inclined to give back if he got the treatment back from Ireland.
Yeah.
But he has to think outside the box.
Yeah.
And be a little bit more savvy than that, and go, look, things aren't going to change by me staying doing what I do. Yeah. But if I give a little bit of love, even though I'm not getting it, I might get it back. Now, it might have to be a lot of love, not just a bit, but I guarantee you he will get it back when the people start, you know what I mean, really seeing the difference.
I'm actually quite surprised. Do you know the way the Late Late Show is the show to be on in Ireland, right? If you're on the Late Late Show, you've made it, and he's been on it a few times, but very surprised he hasn't been called on to any big show like that in Ireland since winning the two titles, being a two-title holder, and since the boxing match.
Well, you don't know the ins and outs. He might have neglected it. He might have said he doesn't have time or he doesn't want to go on.
Yeah, it's just such a big star. It's very unusual. It's just
they did have Owen Roddy on it after.
They did, yeah.
After Vegas.
Oh, that's right, yeah. But I do totally agree. Like, it's like, you know, I don't watch the news or any of that crack. Like, so I wouldn't have known if they did have a homecoming. But it is really disgraceful that they didn't. Like, I mean, it's true, as you what you said, like here in Kilkenny. As you were saying, I'm sure. I guess that's what you're referring to.
Absolutely,
was it?
Yeah.
That in Kilkenny, like if the hurling team here loses, it's like there's still a massive like homecoming, and there's like thousands of people here. It's kind of baffling for me.
It's actually baffling for me, really.
Like when I'm here watching it, to be honest with you, I'm like, why did I
give up the gap?
Yeah, I should have stayed at midfield when I had the chance. You know, no.
And that's all, GAA.
Totally. But, like,
yeah, obviously.
We didn't move to the greatest of counties for mixed martial arts, did we? No. Like, in fairness, like, you know, we didn't. Can't even get a poxy article in the back of the pages.
This is a fact.
We're underneath the 13-year-old bleeding GAA team down at the end.
Oh yeah, and fair play to Mick Byrne and
Miles Price, yeah. Fighting in the tree arena. That's all. It's all. Yeah, no big deal whatsoever.
Don't mind those lads. We're just getting on.
But in fairness, though, fair play to the other 13-year-old Michael O'Leary playing roll forward there. Oh, unbelievable there the last day. And to Miles Price.
It'd be played there to such a local level. It's like the Gores Bridge native has been training here now. I can see it all.
Oh Jesus.
Oh Lord.
That's
business wise, right? If you're talking about McGregor and making changes, and we saw the unveiling of the branding of McGregor Promotions, promoting come what may, could be movies, could be sport, could be whatever. Do you think if he starts out with a move to his own promotions organization, that fighters under there get better conditions, better pay as a default?
I'll leave this to you, Mick. What do you think?
Is that possible? Do you think? He's a guy who's earned an awful lot of money. If he's bringing these guys up through his own promotion and promoting these guys.
Like the way Mayweather does with his guys.
All of a sudden your guy is earning, like Mayweather's guy is fighting somebody else's guy. Well, that's somebody else's guy.
I mean, the opportunity for him to do that is now there. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't think he wants to do anything like that just yet.
Too soon?
Yeah, I think it's too soon.
The thing is that I say all these things, but he could have this in the pipeline. Or he could listen to the podcast and go, I had that in the pipeline anyway.
Yeah, this is the thing. We actually don't know.
Sipping on his whiskey.
Yeah. And just take this as my idea. Yeah.
But like, he has all he's got all these options. You know, it's fantastic to have those options.
Yeah.
It's just, will he go about it the right way, or will he go about it at all? Or is he already going about it? We don't know.
I don't think he is, personally. I think Mayweather, I think he done that. I think I know what you mean about starting the McGregor promotions and bringing guys under his wing, blah, blah, blah. But look, on the grand scale of things, Mayweather takes a cut off them young lads.
Yeah.
That's another way of Mayweather to make money. That's still a roundabout way of him making money. Is that really doing what we're talking about here?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Conor needs to do things, something that's selfless. Not just, and this is the selfish thing that's for Conor, is that when he becomes selfless in doing this, where he doesn't get anything from it, psychologically, it's selfish. Because he's changing that narcissistic mindset that he'll never be happy with what he has to being happy with what he has, because he'll lose the he'll lose that urge for power and money in that transition of doing selfless actions for other people.
Wow.
I'm totally intrigued.
We spent longer on that than I thought we would.
I told you.
I didn't even know.
Well, I took the juggernaut's advice there and kind of went all crazy and shit.
It's kind of
on another note.
What's your take on it, Ken?
Yeah, actually, Ken.
My take on it in general?
The whole general topic.
Yeah, we'll
just
do one for Ken
there
and one for Mick. Go on.
The whole thing in general.
What do you think of that Robin Hood concept that I've come up with? Anything that you think is BS or anything?
No,
or do you think it's on generally an okay scale?
I do like it. I hate seeing people getting taken for a ride. I don't think McGregor is getting taken for a ride. I don't necessarily think that he's taken the UFC for a ride. It's very calculated. There's an awful lot of money to be made. I do think in the grand scale and the scheme of things, when you compare paychecks and you compare sponsorship and promotion opportunities across different fighting promotions, that people that are anywhere but the main event are getting a raw deal.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think that needs to change.
Yeah.
This is why I think Conor will never do this, though, because I remember hearing a statement from him on The Ultimate Fighter where he was giving out to Uriah Faber about paychecks and all that crack, and he was like, when you can bring in the type of money that I bring in, I'll change my accent now, when you bring in the money that I do to the show, that's when you can get those paydays. I'm afraid that's Conor's attitude.
Yeah.
And that's the narcissistic attitude that got him to where he is. Clap, clap, fair play. You're a great fighter. You earn lots of money. But that's not the attitude in order to change the world
and, you know,
and change the grand scale of things.
You know what's funnier again? Partially. I have it in my head that when he calls it a day, and he could, I'd imagine it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen in the next 2 years. That's it, done. He's done from the UFC side of things. That persona gets parked with it. I think there's something under there.
I know what you mean, and that might be a case.
Yeah, it's like the Ric Flair type of thing.
Exactly.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, when the limelight goes out, and it's just like he's still there, but he's just like no.
Yeah. Do you know that fight talk? That fight talk will go because he's not fighting anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I know because I was training with Conor for years.
Yeah.
I remember one time I told a joke to Conor in the gym. I literally told a joke because I fought a lad called Martin Begley for the cage contender title. And I remember he was sitting on the stairs across from me. And he was like, after a fight, he was like, I'm calling you out, Martin Begley. I fucking kill you. But where are you? It's all like that. And I kind of done the same impression when he was there. And I was laughing like, and all the gym laughed. And Conor had a real serious head in him. He was like, I'll break your fucking nose. That
to you?
To me, like, dead serious. We're about to have a fight in the middle of the fucking gym, like.
Jesus.
And that was like on and off for a few years of me and him training. There was always a competitive thing between me and Conor. Real nice to me 1 second, and just the second you challenge his ego, it's like, you are fucked. That you are going to get, you are in for, and it's just like the spars to follow were just fucking bloody wars. Jeez. And it's just literally like, see, that's why I don't think that's ever going to go.
Yeah.
It's in him as well. Mm. It's in a way uncontrollable. There's a sweetheart in everybody.
Yeah.
There's a sweetheart in Hitler, for fuck's sake. Do you think that Hitler is all evil? Of course he fucking isn't. He just has an uncontrollable narcissistic side that he has a disgust for things that he does not like. Mm. He doesn't just dislike it or is afraid of it. There's a disgust there for weakness. And that's what made him do what he done in that war. And that's the mindset that's in people like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why it never goes away. And that's why it's so hard to change it.
Yeah.
But that's the challenge he has if he wants to do what I'm saying, like be the Robin Hood.
Your turn.
Take that, you motherfucker.
Well, yeah. Like, there's not much to like disagree on there.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely, there has to be a change with fighters that aren't in the main event, that aren't making enough. Conor can make that difference. As well as trying to be the Robin Hood of Ireland, making a difference that way. Like, he just has to step up and want to do it. If he doesn't want to do it.
I this is me hoping that he would do it. But
yeah.
I don't think he is.
Yeah.
I honestly do not think he'll do it. I think he'll like maybe give like at most 500,000 and go, that's it. Not giving any more. Oh, you fucking cunts. Go on, that's it. But that's like, you know.
Yeah. Just enough.
Just enough to like, keep people at bay so they don't hassle him about the charity shit.
But like all those points are...
not make a change.
All those points are all accurate. Like they're all... You know, he needs to step up. Yes, there's a lot of fighters that need backing, especially if they're not main event fighters. And it'll revel down to all the other smaller organizations and Ireland as well, as well as being a good guy and giving back to charities or even creating a charity of his own, like you said, to make a difference for homeless people or whatever charity he's interested in. Like that's, we hit all those points and they're fairly accurate, like. To become that Muhammad Ali.
But like, you just have to think about it, as I said earlier, like what is it that he's actually done other than raise the profile of mixed martial arts and Ireland, and we're just proud of him for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Like there's nothing else like.
Yeah.
Like there's fucking hundreds of fighters have done that like in the past generations. Like
yeah.
But Muhammad Ali will always be mentioned above all else, won't they?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's only compared to Muhammad Ali because of his shit talk.
Yeah.
That's it, like.
Yeah, that's it.
So if he wants to really follow through with that statement, he best put some back into it, backbone to it.
We'll email him.
We'll email him. You listen here, you fucking cunt, ya.
Moving on.
Yes.
Swiftly.
ADCC.
Ooh. Oh, yes. That's a nice topic.
I will totally hold my hands up and say that I didn't see an awful lot of it.
You are an absolute disgrace. You're meant to be professional, Ken.
There's only so many things I can pay for at the moment. Another 30 quid a month for Flow Grappling is just a little...
Yeah, that is it. Yeah, well, I was like that. I thought I would have actually paid that only. I thought that you had to pay like the whole 12 months. And I was like, no way, you motherfuckers.
Yeah. But it's half price if you pay the 12 months. It's like $150 for the year, I think.
I have to take an emergency trip to the boys' room. Okay. Back in a second.
All right.
Emergency.
Toilet break is adjourned. ADCC?
ADCC. Gordon Ryan.
Beast?
Beast.
I only saw what came up on YouTube. So I saw Gordon Ryan's and Penna's fight, which was really good.
Yeah.
Penna done great. Gordon Ryan done great in general, but he's absolutely juiced to the gills.
Yeah.
He's so juiced, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
Can't escape his skills, but I think everybody in ADCC is pretty much juicing, like, except for Cabrina. He's a legend.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say everyone, but you just fucking know when you see guys. And guys that have that Cali muscle look.
Yeah.
Where they're just prison swole.
Yeah.
And they're like, fucking veins pop. Like, you don't get that off eating chicken and having protein shakes, dude. You can't even get that from like copious amounts of test boosters and creatine. That shit is not real.
Yeah.
I just think
just let them all juice. Let them all juice. Dennis a fair playing.
Well, they don't get tested in the ADCC, so you can't blame him for doing it.
Yeah,
let them all do it.
Then there's no one.
All I'm saying is that he's juiced to the gills.
Yeah.
But does that mean that you would have to be juicing in order to stand some kind of a chance?
Well, technique-wise, no. Well,
forgive my naivety on steroid juice.
No, I think that you still can do it. You still can, but it's like Marcelo Garcia clearly never took juice. Like, clearly, you just know by him,
yeah.
by his physique,
yeah.
Like, even if you take low grade juicing, like, I worked in gyms for years, like, guys even take lower grade shit, you look at him and go, yeah, he's juicing.
Yeah.
But,
damn.
Like, you know, by Marcelo Garcia, he's never taken it, and he's like one of the best of all times, animal ADCC champion.
Yeah.
Henzo Gracie,
yeah,
ADCC champion, animal. Yeah. It's like doing strength, it's like doing jiu-jitsu and you don't do strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
It's going to have an effect because it's a tool that you've added to your repertoire.
Yeah.
You know, you're now a stronger version of yourself.
Yeah.
You add steads and that's another bit that you add. But the grand pool is your jiu-jitsu game.
Yeah.
So you can still win off that. But all these little extras and obviously steroids are going to help.
Yeah. Is this just like a power thing, an energy thing, a sustainable...
It's trying to be the best form of you can be to get any bit of advantage on the other guy. Because you take it, if they both have equally as good skill
yeah.
and technique, you know, what's gonna get them over that finish line?
The only thing is that steroid promotes weak psychology.
Yeah.
Because you know you're using something to cope with the competition.
Yeah.
Whereas in someone else went through the hard graft to get there. That's a psychological advantage.
Yeah.
That's the only disadvantage of stead use.
Yeah. Because there was an interesting one, not to like totally jump off the ADCC side of things for the moment, but on steroid use, yesterday morning, Health Minister Simon Harris says that he wants...
tested positive.
No, that's not what the article
works.
Said.
It works, I tell you.
It says, Health Minister Simon Harris has said that he wants gym owners across Ireland to help battle the scourge of steroid use after 72,000 units of steroids have been seized this year alone.
That'll never happen.
That will never in a fucking million years happen because 90% of gym owners are probably sellers.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. Steroid addiction.
I can't say 90 because I'm going to have a load of haters because of that. Let's just say 30 to 40. That's close enough to realistic, I'd say.
Yeah. We see people using steroids all the time. Who is this?
How much steroids was seized, did you say?
72,000 units of anabolic steroids, nearly three times as much as... like pills for erectile dysfunction.
Jesus.
Ew. Yeah. I say.
That's quite a lot, I must say.
Yes. Especially for erectile dysfunction pills.
Article continues in the journal saying that it can also be quite expensive, costing some people £200 a month.
Oh, yeah.
Easy.
Easy, I'd say.
Damn. Easily. Easily to build the muscles.
But it'll be interesting. Just that's like a total sidebar just to see where that...
Well, no, we were talking about steroids.
Where that goes, if it's a thing.
We couldn't just talk about the beautiful art and the skill of jiu-jitsu.
Steroids! Steroids are all juicing!
It kind of went straight there.
Yeah, but like Gordon Ryan was like the gold medalist that everyone was talking about.
Yeah.
And like he's clearly juicing.
He was 88 kilos?
Yes.
He looked, still looked really good though.
And there was a few upsets.
Yeah,
as well,
jiu-jitsu wise, awesome.
Was a few upsets. A
few upsets.
Greg Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On tapping out Leandre Liu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Massive.
Like Leandre Liu is just like, he's just like so mental when he's rolling, like when he's grappling. It's just like, just even relax for a second and you might actually.
Yeah,
you know, but he's just so,
it's like watching
he's so
a tornado
good to watch
that, doesn't know
you don't
what
want him to
mean.
Relax ever.
Yeah.
You know? But, another big upset was Mackenzie Dern as well.
Oh, you see that?
Your one was Finland. It was Finnish, wasn't you?
Tenth Planet.
Yeah, Tenth Planet. Yeah, very good. Very good match that was.
Dylan
apparently,
first round.
One of the girls who trains here was telling me that Mackenzie Dern's put on a few pounds.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
And she hasn't made weight for any of her MMA fights.
No.
Oh.
No.
Really.
Really.
I did not know that.
It's quite gossipy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
I like it.
trying to think who
making was. Weight's an issue in MMA, though.
Bishesha as well.
Bishesha, I didn't see any of Bishesha's matches.
I didn't see them either, but I know he lost. Did he lose in the final?
Couldn't tell you. This is such a bad assessment of me.
Well, we'll just
we're like, I didn't see that.
We'll just edit that out.
Nope.
No, he lost. I think in the final, but he's a fucking hand injury. I seen the after photo of it there on Instagram or something there yesterday. Fucking hell! It's just like his whole palm here.
Yeah.
And his fingers are just ballooned up, like as if there's a fucking tit on.
But like you'd said at this level is like people go into it and they go, you know, if I'm going hard and it goes wrong, I'm likely going to be out for about 6 or 9 months. I can live with that.
Yeah.
If it means having my arm torn from its sockets, because I'm not giving up that arm.
That's the thing. When you're at that level, they're willing to let their arm break or their knee.
Especially the ADCCs, it's a lot of risk. Yeah. Only happens. It's once a year, isn't it?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, once a year.
Once every two years,
they get serious money for winning, so. Mm. Yeah. Cabrina and Meow's match was good.
Meow. Yeah. Cabrina. Yeah, Cabrina doing the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
He's a legend, man. 37 and he's like still kicking ass. Like,
yeah.
What's he got?
So he's just delighted half a Mendes. He's
delighted half his.
Like, as the only thing in my way.
Yeah.
That's French accent. I don't know.
But Cheshire, I seen the fight he lost and he looked very tired.
Yeah.
Looked very tired.
Who would look tired, sorry?
But Cheshire.
Yeah, they're big men and carry all on muscle, man.
Yeah, it's Keenan Cornelius. But they're always competing, man.
He just looked wrecked.
Yeah, Keenan Cornelius got caught in the head and arm.
Yeah.
And Shale Sonnen beat Leo Vera.
That's right.
That's pretty crazy.
Good man, Shale.
That's crazy. How the fuck did he manage that?
I don't know.
Nicky Ryan gave a decent account of himself.
Yes, he did.
Apparently.
What age is he? 15? 15, 16.
Fuck. Youngest ever competitor, anyway.
Yeah.
Juicing.
We need to distance ourselves from those guys.
No, he's just technically very good for 15. I mean, he only lost by 2 points to AJ Agazam.
Yeah, man.
What do you need to do to get in?
He needed to be there as a replacement.
Really? Yeah.
That's what Nicky Ryan done. Yeah, somebody pulled out and he got in.
But like, but in, how in is general, he lined up? Like,
oh,
you
in general,
just have to be fucking unreal.
General.
I mean, obviously, you have to be a top black belt competitor who is winning or is in the final of comps every time they enter. Like, they're all world champions. Or
there's two things to get to the level he's at such a young age. One, he's part of Danaher Death Squad.
Yep. Yeah.
Two, he's Gordon Ryan's brother. So, like, he's surrounded by their D&D. We can ask tips whenever, wherever he wants. So, those two things. Three, the psychology that John Danaher brings to the team.
Mm-hmm.
That, and four, his willingness. Well, like, this is all around the John Danaher psychology spectrum. That he reps the shit out of leg locks.
Yeah.
And he does roll against the best guys in the world, but it's primarily drilling and technique in a very unorthodox style.
Yeah.
That's very dangerous.
Yeah, and
leg locks are very dangerous and a lot of guys can't deal with it.
Yeah, and I don't know how he gets on in previous comps, but he must be doing quite well if he's able to get on ADCC. Well,
lost a very slim decision to Meow as well.
Yeah, that's right. Meow.
You need to get a sound effect every time you see Meow. We just have a cat.
Yeah.
That aside, myself and yourself are off to Copenhagen.
Myself and
yourself. This weekend coming.
We are Saturday, isn't it?
Saturday.
Jesus, I'm away again, lads. Like a proper traffic.
You're flat out, lads.
For fuck's shit.
Well, it's fucking well enough that you can go and that your flights haven't been Ryanair.
Yeah, exactly.
Canceled.
Wankers.
But,
well, they haven't fucked me over, but in general, wankers. That's what people say.
We go on the Saturday and we get to enjoy Copenhagen for a few days. And then on the Monday, it's the seminar with Rafael Lovato Jr. So he's just after competing in the ADCC and now he'll be over doing a seminar there. So I've trained at that gym once or twice before over the past year. So the minute I seen him coming there, I was just like, oh, booking that straight away.
That's going to be cool.
That's going to be deadly.
Is that your first overseas trip for a seminar? Specifically for
the
seminar?
Two of us.
Overseas an actual seminar, yes.
Yeah.
That's the first time we've kind of gone away as coaches.
Yeah.
To go away to do this.
So.
We're going away and we'll be back Tuesday, isn't it?
We're back Tuesday, yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah, so looking forward to what he's going to show us there.
And you should book us
just to chat with him.
You should book a last second flight and come with us, Ken.
Yes,
I should.
You fucking
should. You should, and just suck it up and do it.
I should totally just extend my holidays by a few days.
Yes, they won't mind.
Technically, you've just spent your whole holidays here. Doing shit that generally peep human beings procrastinate on the last 2 weeks. Yeah. So now that would be your actual holiday,
and that would be a great argument to the boss.
Yeah,
it would be a serious argument.
Yeah, you always have to do like a comparison. Put yourself in my shoes.
I'm already going in going, oh, I think I want to play golf on Wednesday morning and I have this thing on Friday.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'll just take another week off.
It's for the best.
It's fine. It's fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah. So have you any idea what...
Do a Robin Hood on it? If you don't let me do this, I'm leaving.
I want to give all of my time and all of my money to the greater
good of jiu-jitsu in Copenhagen.
Yes, exactly. Have you any idea what the seminar will hold?
I don't. Now, I was briefly chatting to the guy that runs or owns the gym. And he was like, just give me information about what time it starts and when it's on and all that. And we're more than welcome and all that. So, but he doesn't know. I don't think anyone knows until it happens. Yeah. Cause I don't think I've ever known before a seminar what we're going to work on or whatever. So
odd question. Will it be conducted in English?
I would think so. Cause English is quite a strong language.
I hope he doesn't come in and start speaking like Alaskan.
Well, number...
Where did that come out?
Alaskan.
Well,
just
number one.
A random of 50 states.
Well, for starters, he's American. He speaks American.
Yeah.
He speaks English.
He comes in and starts speaking...
He speaks English and is American, right?
Quick question. Will it be in English?
He speaks English and is American. So if
you
anything...
You thought it was Brazilian, didn't you?
No, I'm just laughing at that. He speaks American. Do you guys speak English here? No,
American.
Son, we speak American.
They said that in the Joe Rogan podcast a while ago. He's like, I'm sick of it. Every time I have to say I speak English, I'm not fucking English.
Well, yeah, no, he speaks English anyway, so I'm sure
that's good.
Yeah, it's handy for Help. Us. And sure. Plus, everyone in Denmark speaks English anyway, but if they need to speak Danish, in Danish, I'm sure there'll be someone there.
I was going to say Denmarkian.
It'd be cool to get back Legoland, Copenhagen as well, because it's a cool fucking city.
Yeah, you've been there before. It's a nice
Loads
spot.
Times.
Yeah.
Bring me around. He's my tour guide.
I'm his tour guide for the weekend.
You know where's good.
I know where is good and where is bad.
Those are all the happy hours there. I know that.
I know. Huh? I know where the
games
are.
You're getting very drunk before the seminar.
I see it, Jeff. Fly out on the Friday, drinking. Saturday, drinking.
No, we fly
Sunday,
out the Saturday.
Drinking.
That was very
Monday,
specific.
Rolling.
But that's the beauty. We can go to this gym and train on the Sunday if we want.
Oh, man. Well, we definitely have to do that. I don't want to do any of that. That naughty malarkey. Don't want to be drunk going and hungover going into it.
No,
no
I'm
way.
Pasta.
Man. Pasta. Pasta. Go away with that, will you? You're an animal.
Pasta.
Yeah. So that's that.
Yeah.
So lastly, before we wrap up, this week marked the start of the new round of 10-week and 20-week jiu-jitsu
freshers,
MMA freshers courses. How are things going in that department?
Good. Everything kicked off Monday. I thought you really know what to say something. No, everything kicked off Monday. Great to see new faces in both courses. So it's great because we're kind of mixing everyone together but still keeping them separate as regards the new guys are just paired off with the new guys and the existing guys are still coming in, are still allowed to come into the same classes, but they work on more advanced stuff, obviously, because they've already done 20 weeks. So, it's great to get new faces in, great to teach the basics to everyone again.
And we have Andy Ryan coming down on November 18th.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
November 18th. Andy Ryan seminar and grading, TRK grading as well. So anyone, it doesn't have to be members only.
Yeah, it's not just, it's not like a grading, in-house grading. It's like it's a seminar for everybody to come to.
Exactly. Yeah. So like anyone, even if you're not a TRK member, if you're just
get down for the rolls. Any other
club, whatever. Yeah, just get down. It's 20 euros for the seminar, I think, is it?
Yep.
And then just, it's about two and a half hours long. That's about it.
Sweet.
Nah, me, motherfucker. Well, yeah. Me, motherfucker.
We're going to have burgers again.
I mean, we'll have something.
Bouncy Castle.
We'll have something. I mean, Bouncy Castle is very realistic.
Sumo suits.
Sumo suits.
Those ball things.
Wait. You play soccer in the balls.
Yeah. Yeah. I said it before you did.
The bubbles. The bubble balls.
Yes.
Yeah. Bubble
time. That's a perfect space.
We have down there, yeah. The big space down there. All I have to get is two goals.
Yeah.
All over like a fat kid on a cupcake.
Yeah. No one's even going to go to seminar to be up there playing the ball shit.
You know, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, Andy Ryan's going to be like, where the fuck is everyone? Jesus fucking Christ, I'm playing a stupid yoke. Yeah. Go out and tell him, Patrick.
On that note, we've gone.
Speaking of Andy, we may get him on this fucking show.
Can't get him out with Fingless down here. It's unbelievable.
I know. It's fucking.
I really want him down here again. A podcast.
I'll give you like a recorder and go up.
It's not
chat.
Good enough. No, it's not good enough.
We can just insert it.
We can do it on the seminar day.
Yeah.
You have nowhere to run now, Mr. Wyatt.
Probably better to do it before the seminar, would it?
Yeah.
Because we'd be knackered after it.
Oh, no, sure. Fuck it afterward.
Afterwards, then. While we're eating me food.
While you're eating the food. Have an old beer.
Yeah.
Grand.
Yeah. Pre-workout Cronenberg.
Great. Hey, that'd be a great day for that beer tasting, the White Rhino.
Do you know, I had one the other night.
And we have a beer tasting.
What?
I keep saying that. I actually have I have to talk and try and organize that. I wanted to get Jer to come in. I had a White Rhino on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
You can grab them in
Super. It's a whiskey, isn't it?
No, it's a beer.
It's a beer, yeah. Right. It's a beer.
Oh.
It's an untamed IPA.
It's off the leash.
We could just have that here like on display on the table.
And what, was it nice?
Free beer.
Lovely.
Retails for about maybe somewhere between 3.50 and £4 for the bottle. Irish bottle.
I could do that.
It's tasty.
Do that. Yeah, that's good.
But anyway,
that's completely
beside the point.
Yeah,
we could plan that.
A few White Rhinos, a few sandwiches, podcast, a few of that Bali shit out there, whatever that's called. Seminar.
A bit of a seminar, some actual training.
Jiu-jitsu, apart from all the other things.
That's great. When you move your microphone like that, it's just like... So before we completely lose the run of ourselves, we've gone from the Robin Hood of Conor McGregor theory right down to the very tip, and that's it.
Juice and ADCC.
Correct.
Copenhagen.
Correct.
Freshers.
Andy Ryan seminar.
Correct.
Yeah.
Getting him down for a podcast.
Yeah. Correct.
Tying him into it.
Yeah.
Tricking him. Hope he doesn't listen to this.
Yeah. He probably doesn't. Anyway,
No, he does not. No, hope.
Too and fucking Andy, busy. Andy will be back. Andy Morphy.
Oh, he will
be back on the next podcast. We'll be all together again.
Yeah, his next fight got announced since the last podcast.
Yes, WIT February, isn't
Dylan
it?
Dylan Logan.
Yes.
He's quite a poo-talking motherfucker.
Poo-talking.
He is. Does a lot of poo-talking.
Yeah, there's a bit of beef between himself and Andy online.
Doesn't really
online,
have
anyway.
Many rights to do it, though, because he hasn't got the greatest of records. And Andy's really tough. Not just saying that because he trains with me. Well, I am really, but he's really tough.
Yeah.
So he's in for a bad night, I think.
Yeah.
Good.
Interesting.
We'll talk about that in 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
It's time to sign off. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What's the San Diego thing he says in Anchorman?
Good night, San Diego, and go fuck yourselves.
Well done, everybody. Especially you down on the floor there. Well done. Good job, everybody.
I don't think he's realized what he said.
Oh, good luck.
Oh, God.